Well, good morning. Absolutely beautiful day out there. We'll have to remember these days when the weather turns colder and the snow starts to fly. So let's not complain too much, but it is supposed to be a hot and humid week again this week. So let's be careful. Think about our pets and our neighbors who need some special attention. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks for meeting us here in this place. For where two or more are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst of them. Welcome, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that what we do here is pleasing unto you and life-changing to all of us, and then through us to the world around us. We ask for your anointing to be upon us, Lord, in this service. We ask, Lord, for your anointing to be upon us as a church and the ministry here. We ask for your anointing to be upon this community. So come, Holy Spirit, and receive our lives here today as living sacrifices. Do with us what you will, and fill us all with love for one another, and especially with love for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
I offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially if we have any visitors out there. I'm not sure if I see any, but if you are there and you would like some information about our church, a welcome packet can be found on the Shepherd's Crook outside the narthex doors, or you can see any ushers. Please sign the red registration or the registration sheet in the red folders, and they're located at the end of your pew. Pass it to others in the pew and bring it back to the center aisle. And if you have a prayer request this morning, please complete the 3x5 index card that you will find in that holder. I would like to highlight an announcement or two. First and foremost is the reservations for church picnic scheduled for Monday, August 15th, which is fast approaching. Today is the last day to sign up, although I'm certain that you won't be turned away that day. But this is primarily to give an idea with regard to food and beverage planning. It will be held at the Oak Hollow Park here in the township at the Pine Pavilion. So again, those RSVPs can be found in the narthex on the table. If you would register, it would be most appreciated. And there are quite a number of other announcements, but I would ask that you read those closely because I would like to take a minute to say a few words personally myself. Many of you have been aware that my son Andy was stricken and diagnosed with a severe case of E. coli with a Shiga toxin in Boston, Massachusetts, where he had resided. He was in the hospital for 12 days, beginning in mid-June through early July. And just as a brief little medical lesson, because I learned lots, E. coli and bacteria that normally live in intestines of humans and animals, and there are many strains of the E. coli. Most of them are harmless. However, some are very life-threatening. There are strains that produce this Shiga toxin, which can cause serious illness in people. Symptoms include diarrhea, bloody stool, and intense stomach cramping. Andy was stricken with this particular strain of E. coli and experienced these symptoms, resulting in severe blood loss. His strain of E. coli with Shiga also advanced to a more serious health issue known as a hemolytic uremic syndrome. And those patients diagnosed with the E. coli and with the uremic syndrome, it's very grim. There's no medicine. There's no antibiotic. So there was nothing really from a medical perspective that they could give to Andy to make him better. He couldn't just take a pill. The optimal care or management, that's what they called it, of E. coli with the HUS, was through intravenous IV hydration and intense monitoring of his blood counts and kidney levels. The doctors literally watch and wait, and that's what they said We watch and wait for what they hope to be a positive outcome. Andy's care included receiving 24 liters. Imagine 12 two-liter bottles of Pepsi. He received 24 liters per day of fluid for 12 days. He also had 4 blood transfusions during that time. As a result of his condition, he did sustain damage to his kidneys and liver, but he continues to improve every day. He came home with me on July 8th, and he received plenty of TLC from his mama. He is now in Phoenix, Arizona, receiving the same loving care from his girlfriend Katrina's family for a 2-week vacation. In mid-August, they will both be moving to Chicago, where Andy has job transferred and Katrina will start a PhD program in cancer research. Bill and I cannot begin to express our deep and genuine gratitude for so many things to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for his tender mercies in all of this and for a positive outcome. We are so grateful that Andy was living in Boston, where he was able to receive the best care. He was taken to Brigham and Women's Hospital, which was a top-rated medical facility, ranked second behind Massachusetts General. Both schools are the teaching hospitals for Harvard medical students, so he just had so many doctors and medical professionals taking care of him. The Lord provided the best for Andy, that he was able to receive round-the-clock care. He had top hematologists, blood doctors. He had top kidney doctors. But it was humbling to see that they said, there's nothing we can do but watch and wait. We'll try to manage this. And God was so good, and he brought us through this. Mere words can't express the gratitude to you, our church family. First, to Pastor Bruce Judy, who was here, I think, for about a week when he learned the news. And he called for a prayer vigil. Many of you participated, held here at the church, to intercede on Andy's behalf. To the work trip under the direction of Jack and Pat Osterman, who stopped in the middle of their work day to gather in prayer for Andy. To prayer warriors in our community and all over the country for their constant prayers. And most of all, to you, the congregation. You gave a new meaning to church family, to what it means. Thank you for your support, your constant prayers, and words of encouragement. We are so very humbled. God is so good. Amen. Please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. Please remain standing for our unison prayer that we will recite together. God of grace, you sent the promised gift of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the women, upon Mary, the mother of Jesus, and upon his brothers. Fill your church with power, kindle flaming hearts within us, and cause us to proclaim your mighty works in every tongue, that all may call on you and be saved. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And please remain standing for our hymn of praise, number 2031, found in your black paperback hymnal.
Who loves us? Jesus. Jesus loves us bunches and bunches. Oh, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, Jesus loves you bunches and bunches. Whether you're home, sleeping in bed, or at school, at play, visiting, going shopping at the doctor's, Jesus loves you bunches and bunches. Jesus even loves us, well, even when we're bad, Jesus loves us. He doesn't want us to be bad, but he loves us. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, Jesus. Nothing. What's the best thing that ever happened to you? What makes you the happiest? Can you name something?
Movie theater.
Movie theater? Like going to the movies. What do you like? What's the best thing ever happened to you?
Playing.
Playing? Okay. Go and tell somebody that. Go and tell somebody what the best thing is that you like most. Go tell one person. You go tell one person movie theater, and you go tell one person playing. Okay? Go ahead. Tell somebody. And then come right back here. Anybody you want. Okay, now, come over here. Watch what I'm doing. You watching? Did you see what I did? Go and tell somebody what I did. Okay? Tell anybody you want to. Just tell them what Pastor Bruce just did. Go ahead. You can go tell somebody what I just did. Right? Took my watch off, put it over here. Go tell somebody. Anybody you want to. Or you can tell the same people you told before. It's fine. It's good. Okay. Now, one more thing. See the cross up there on the wall? The cross is empty. Do you know why the cross is empty? Because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He's no longer on that cross. And because he's no longer on that cross, because Jesus is alive, that means that we will live too. That even if these bodies were to give up, we know that because of Jesus, that who we are will live on forever. And that's good news. And we need to share that good news with everybody else. So go and tell somebody that Jesus is alive and say Jesus loves you. So go tell somebody Jesus is alive and Jesus loves you. Okay? Go ahead. And then come back up here. Go ahead. Tell somebody, anybody. Go ahead. Just tell somebody Jesus is alive and that Jesus loves them. Well, you feel comfortable with who you know, just... Okay. Okay, come on up here. Now, give me five. That was a good job. That was a good job. Wow. That was a good job because you know what? You guys were witnesses. You were witnesses. You witnessed about what you liked, what was really important, a good day for you. You witnessed about what I did, moving my watch from one hand to the other. And then you witnessed about Jesus loving people and that Jesus is alive. So you were good witnesses. Let me turn that a little bit. So that's what we are all called to do, is to be good witnesses for Jesus. So come on over here. Let's put our hands together and have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we would be bold witnesses for you. Help us to tell our friends that Jesus loves them. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Here's your buckets.
Some say life is just a series of decisions. We make choices, we live and learn. Now I'm standing at a crossroad, and I must choose which way to turn. Down the one road lies all the world can offer, all its power, its wealth and fame. Down the other is a man with nail scars in his hands, but there is mercy in his eyes, there is power in his name. I choose Jesus, without a solitary doubt, I choose Jesus. miracles, but for loving me. Not for Bethlehem, but for Calvary. Not for a day, but for eternity, I choose Jesus. All my life I've sailed the sea of reason. I was captain of my soul. There was no need for a savior. I could live life on my own. Then he spoke the language of compassion, words of healing to broken lives. When they nailed him to the tree, his love included me. Through his body and his blood, I can leave the past behind. I choose Jesus, Jesus, without a solitary doubt. I choose Jesus, not for miracles, but for loving me. Not for Bethlehem, but for Calvary. Not for a day, but for eternity, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Got a solitary doubt. I choose Jesus. Not for miracles, but for loving me. Not for Bethlehem, but for Calvary. Not for a day, but for eternity, I choose
Thank you, Deb. Our scripture reading is from the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Hear these words about the ascension of Jesus. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, when they were all gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward the heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." And here ends the reading of Christ's ascension. And at this time, I would ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
give unto you these tithes and these offerings. And Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to give back to you just a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. And we give to you these tithes and these offerings, Lord, as representing our lives, all that we have and all that we hope to be. For we give to you this day our lives as living sacrifices. And we ask, O God, that you would bless and multiply these offerings. Use them as you see fit for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's witness to the joy in our lives. What has God done for you lately?
Retirement instead of vacation.
My sister was in for a visit yesterday, my older sister Midge from McKeesport. And Midge is retiring also in 28 days. And she came to last night's service. So it was a joy to have her here. Other joys. Family's great. Yes. Other joys. Anybody else have a joy you want to thank the Lord for? Yep. Yep. God watches over fools. Okay. She's a joy. Yep. Your estranged granddaughter got back in touch with you. Yep. Thank you, Jesus. So for all of our joys, what do we say?
Praise,
praise the Lord. Okay, pens, pencils. mental tablets, our homework for the week. We have a car that needs, replaced. Let me check that there, replaced. What else? Remember the Dennis Hearns family? Dennis passed away. I'll be doing that funeral Wednesday. 11 o'clock, Snyder Funeral Home. 4 to 8 on Tuesday is viewing. Other concerns?
Our country.
Who?
Country.
Our country, yes. Yeah, I said that this morning, too. Yeah, that's right. Our country needs all the prayer it can get. We want to pray for those who suffer from anxiety and depression, those who are traveling, anybody in particular that you feel needs prayer. Wendell. So traveling mercies for this couple coming in from Japan. Yes. Okay. Okay, keep Andy in your prayers. Julie. Prayers for Cheryl. And let's pray for our church ministry here. Finances, outreach. And if you have an unspoken request for God, just raise your hand. God sees that hand and knows the details. So for all of these concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we give you thanks. Praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise you, Jehovah, Yahweh, Yeshua, the Holy One of Israel. Praise you, Lord God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, the author and sustainer of life, the giver of immortal gladness. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you. Thank you that we indeed are a blessed people. And Lord God, we lift up into the light and love of your presence all those who are traveling, Dennis Hearns' family. We lift up to you our country. We lift up to you all those who are battling anxiety and depression. We ask for traveling mercies for all those on the road. We lift up to you Andy, asking you to complete that healing in him. We lift up to you Julie, Cheryl. We lift up to you, Lord, our church. Not just the people, but the ministry, the building and grounds, the parsonage, the finances. Most of all, Lord, the ministry, the outreach here. Lord, we lift up to you the unspoken request today because we believe, God, help our unbelief. We believe that you're greater than any problem that we have. We believe, Lord, in your word, which tells us that the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. We have favor with God and man. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And with you, God, all things are possible. It is written. It is written, God. So we thank you and we praise you. And we will always be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us hear the word of the Lord according to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Then Jesus came to them, his disciples, and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Three pastors got together for lunch, and they were talking about all the funerals they had done. And the one pastor says, you know, someday people are going to be looking at us laying there in a casket. And he said, what would you want people to say about you? The one pastor says, well, I'd want them to say that I was a good pastor, a godly man. The other pastor said, I'd want them to say that I was a good pastor, but also a good father and husband. The other pastor, he thought a little bit, and he said, I'd want them to look at me and say, look, he's still moving. Give me a J.
J.
What, was that hard?
No.
You had to think about that for a minute? Give me a J.
J.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me a U.
U.
Another S.
S.
What do we have?
Jesus.
What?
Jesus.
Louder.
Jesus.
If you believe that Jesus, not really, but if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, say amen. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and that God raised him from the dead, say amen.
Amen.
If you have Christ in your heart and you think that's the best news of everything, if, there is nothing more important than that. Nothing more important than Jesus than say, praise the Lord.
Praise.
We need to tell other people more than just each other about that. You know, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is crucified, dead, buried, raised from the dead, and then for 40 days, he appears unto his disciples, and he tells them about the kingdom of God, performs miracles. He's preparing them. He's preparing them for something very important. He eats with them. He's proving to them that he is flesh and blood as well as spirit. He's showing them what's going to come after death. He is solidifying their faith, telling them the good news about God. And just a few days before he ascends into heaven, he tells them, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. And I want you to pray and wait for the gift that my Father is going to send you, power from on high. You wait for that. And then on the day that he ascends, him and his disciples go out to the mountaintop, and Jesus looks at them and he says, now, you wait for this power, and when it comes on you, then you will be my witnesses. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then he ascends into heaven. And they're all standing around watching him go up and disappear into the clouds, amazed at what he said and what he did, wondering what next. All of a sudden, an angel stands among them and says, oh, you men, why are you standing there watching him? He's going to come back the same way he left. But they were left with a command. We were left with a command to be witnesses. So why Jerusalem? Why Jerusalem? Most of these men were all from Galilee and Judea, the surrounding area, not necessarily from Jerusalem. Why did Jesus say Jerusalem? Well, Jerusalem was the holy city. That's the place that church happened. That's the place where the Jews would come back from all over the world, make a pilgrimage back there to worship, to celebrate. It represents the church. That is the first place Jesus wants us to be a witness, is in the church. We are to witness to one another, to exhort one another, to encourage each other in the faith. It's here in church that we make disciples. And by to make disciples, we have to teach them everything that Jesus has commanded us, encourage them to learn the Bible. We have to teach them that prayer is answered. God answers prayer. We have to teach them that by witnessing to them, by sharing with each other the good news of Jesus Christ, giving testimony. That's how we make believers. That's how we make disciples for Christ. And that's what God wants us to do, because we're not done there. Because once we become a disciple of Jesus Christ, and we've learned what it is Jesus wants us to do, and we've learned how to witness, then it's time to go outside the walls and witness. We are not the church so that people will come in and do things the way we've always done it. That doesn't save anybody. But we are the church to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to make disciples of Christ. That's Jerusalem. And then Jesus said that you will be my witnesses in Judea. Judea is where these fellows lived. We are to be witnesses at home. We are to be witnesses to our family. And I know it goes without saying almost. I know that in some families there are relationships that are very strained, very painful. There are some relationships that are broken. And yet I'm telling you that we need to be a witness to everybody in our family. Everybody in our family should be able to see Christ in us. And we should be a witness by the things that we say and by the things that we do and by the things we don't do. We are to witness to our family about Jesus. And we are to witness to, speaking of witnessing in Judea, we're to witness to our neighbors. You know that neighbor whose dog poops in your yard? We're to witness to them, to show them the love of Christ. Our co-workers who drive us crazy, we're to witness to them. That boss that we don't like, we're to witness to them. We're to witness to the sales clerk that waits on us. We're to witness to the people that we pass in the street. We are to witness to the person that tears off the front wheel of our car. We are to witness in our communities. We are to shake things up. We are not out there to make people like us, but we are out there to share Jesus Christ with them. That's what Jesus wants us to do, be a witness. And then there's Samaria. Oh, why did he have to say Samaria? You know, the Jews hated the Samaritans. See, the Samaritans were the people who were left behind when the Jews were taken away in exile to Babylon. And those who were left behind, well, they tried to continue church, but they perverted the religion. They began to twist things around, do things their way. They really made a mess out of things. And then when the Jews did come back from exile, the Samaritans wanted to continue on doing what they were doing, and it was just a real perversion, and the Jews really resented them. It got so bad that if a Samaritan was walking down the sidewalk here and a Jew was walking this way, the Jew would cross the street. He wouldn't walk on the same side of the road as the Samaritan. They hated each other. They didn't speak to one another. They ridiculed each other. It was racism and bigotry at its finest. That's what makes the story about Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. It's what makes it so powerful. So the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. And Jesus said, be a witness for me in Samaria. So what does that say to us? We are to be a witness to those people that we don't like. And there are people who just drive us crazy. People who wear their hair funny and dress weird, who've got all these body piercings, maybe who wear shirt and tie, drive us nuts. We are to be witnesses to the outcast, to those whose lifestyle we don't like. that we don't approve of. We are to be witnesses to sinners. Jesus did that. He went and ate with sinners to bring to them the truth, to bring to them love. We are called to be witnesses to Samaria. What's the fellow's name who wears the hat, he's got the long gray beard, walks around town? Mark. His name is Mark. Always walks around town. I noticed him right away. I'm not sure what church he inhabits, but I'm telling you, it'll make it a point for me to talk to Mark, to make sure that he is getting spiritually fed somewhere. And if he doesn't have a church to call his home, guess what? I'm going to do everything I can to get him to come in here. I saw a lot of other odd critters down there in Irwin. I saw some hippies. Hippies. I remember hippies. I'm 60 years old. I remember what hippies are. And I saw some people with the mohawk hairdo and biker types. And if they don't have a home, I'm going to ask them. We look around now and we're all nice, clean cut, good people. But we are to be witnesses too to Samaria. We're not to sit here and wait for the outcast to come in. We're supposed to be witnesses to them. We're supposed to go out and get them. Beat the bushes and the highways and the byways and bring them into this place. Or else tell them right there on the spot that Jesus loves them. That's what Jesus said to do. And you're thinking, I can't do that. I can't do that. Let me tell you, Matthew chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, Jesus said, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That's that power from on high. God will tell us what to say. God will give us the words. We just have to step out in faith. We have to be witnesses in church, at home, in Samaria, to the outcast. And then Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses to the end of the earth. Now it says in Matthew chapter 28 that we are to be to go and baptize every nation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we are to teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. So once again, we are to go and baptize and tell people about Jesus and love people and be a witness to people that we don't like. Muslims, Hindus, communists, ISIS. We are to share with them the love of Christ in order to fulfill what Jesus said to do. And you're thinking, no way, no way. Yeah, way. It's not us that does it anyways. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, in this big college town, there was during this one summer, most of the college kids had gone home. This one fellow was there. He was a young man. He was taking classes. And you know, he wore sandals all the time. And he had jeans with holes all through them. And he wore tie-dyed T-shirts. His hair was braided and cornrows, you know, and pulled back and was long. And most of the time he was late for class. Most of the time he sat on the floor or sat on top of the desk. But he was there taking summer classes. And it was Sunday. And there was nothing better to do. And he thought, you know, I used to go to church when I was a little boy. He says, I'm going to go to that big, fine church across the road. Nice church, big church. Kind of like this. And so he got up. He didn't have anything special to wear. He just wore what he always wore. And he went across the street to that church. And when he walked in, church had already started. The pastor was up front giving announcements. And he walked in and he looked around for some place to sit. And the place was packed full. And just so he just started sauntering down the aisle, looking and looking. Nobody moved over to give him a seat. The pastor saw him coming. Didn't know what to think. Everybody was staring and mumbling to each other. This was a fine church. Everybody was dressed really nice. There were nice cars out in the parking lot. And the young man couldn't find a place to sit. And he got down front. And so he just did what he usually does, and he sat on the floor. And the pastor looked down and thought, now what do I do? And he looked up and he saw the head usher coming down the aisle, had his cane. The man had been head usher there since he who flung the chunk. He had been head usher there forever. And he always wore a suit. He was a no-nonsense man. And the pastor thought, oh no, there's going to be big trouble here. And that head usher walked all the way down to the front. You could hear a pin drop. And that head usher went over to that young man and he handed him his cane. And then he slowly got down on the floor and sat next to him. And the pastor said, you won't remember what I say here today, but you'll never forget what you've seen. That's how we're supposed to treat the outcast. That's how we're supposed to witness to one another. That's how we're supposed to witness to our family, to our neighbors, our co-workers. You see, we give our lives as living sacrifices to Jesus. When we give the offering, when we come for communion today, we're putting our lives on the altar table as living sacrifices. That's what we say. Is it what we do? Because Jesus said, go and baptize every nation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And I'm going to tell you what, you can grab somebody. You can grab somebody. Now, if Peggy wasn't a believer and I wanted to make her a believer, I could grab her and drag her down into the water and say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and lift her up. Is she baptized? No. It was just water. She has to want to be baptized. She has to understand it and want to be baptized, or it doesn't mean anything. And so when Jesus said to go and baptize every nation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and teach them to obey everything that he's commanded us, it means we have to convince them that our way is better than theirs, that Jesus is the answer to their problems, that love conquers all. We've got to teach them that. They've got to see it in our lives. We've got to give them the proof by being a witness. And when they're convinced, then they'll want baptized. And then we'll have fulfilled Jesus' commands. It begins here in the church. It happens in our community. It happens at home. It happens in our country. It happens with the outcast. That's what's supposed to happen. So what are we going to do about it? Well, we're going to make disciples of Jesus Christ, and we're going to witness to one another. It's a good place to start. And then maybe we'll do a prayer walk down the middle of Main Street. We'll all gather together, and maybe we can march down the sidewalk. A whole group of us, people will stare and wonder what we're up to. And we can wear our shirts that say, Irwin First United Methodist. We can hand out bottles of water with scriptures on it. Let them know what we're about, that we're alive and well as we pray for Irwin, the area. Maybe we can have a giveaway right before Christmas, a couple weeks before Christmas. We can gather together all of our toys and clothes and household items and store it all up in the gymnasium, and then, you know, 2 weeks before Christmas, have people come in and take whatever they want. No questions asked. Maybe we can do a dinner for Thanksgiving. Maybe like the day before Thanksgiving on a Wednesday, prepare a big meal with all the trimmings and serve it for free to the community. You know, publicize it and invite them in. Let them know that Jesus loves them. But one of my favorites is flash mob. Oh yeah, baby. If you don't know what a flash mob is, you need to look one up. Let's do a flash mob. Let's do it downtown Irwin. Let's do it at one of the shopping centers. Let's all get together and on a prescribed signal, let's all break out in song and give God the glory. Let's shake this world up for Jesus Christ. Let's be a witness. God loves you, and so do I. Page 12 of your hymnal. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Tracy. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Let us give thanks and praise to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
That night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, and after he had blessed it, we pray, Lord, that you would bless this bread, that it would be for us the body of Christ. He broke the bread, and then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and after he had blessed it, we pray, Lord, that you would bless this cup, that it would be for us the cup of the new covenant, the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink you all of this, for this is my cup of the new covenant." So, Lord, we pray that you would bless us now under your service. Open us up to receive your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The ushers, please. Let's turn in our hymnals to hymn number 569. We have a story to tell to the nations, standing as we sing. How seriously do we take being Christians? How seriously do we take our salvation? How seriously do we take the Word of God? Because right now we can be a witness to each other in this place. But boy, oh boy, when we walk out them doors, we've got all kind of family waiting that need to hear the Word of God. And maybe some of them you've been fighting with, or a neighbor or a coworker. Imagine their surprise when you go to them smiling with outstretched arms and say, "God loves you and so do I." And you're going to witness to them. Imagine their surprise when the hippie or the person with the pants pulled down around their hips, all them tattoos and body piercings, and you smile at them and nod and say, "Hi, how are you? You have a church home? You're welcome to come to ours." Witnesses to the end of the earth. Dear Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit upon us. Fill us with the boldness that we need, God, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to our hurting world. Help us, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to be the witnesses that you've called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.